It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Welcome in on a terrific Tuesday, although it may be a troubling Tuesday before all is said and done. I think we have two different pockets of rough weather to come. I thought last night was going to be rougher, but it wasn't. I will say this. You know, I've complained. I have a pool in my backyard. This has never happened before. We've had hawks and things like that. I have two ducks in my pool today, hanging around and then jumping in the water, which, of course, because of chemical or chlorine lock, is still green until I'm rescued by the clean green people. So I don't know if that's why the ducks are in there, but they're having a good time. I don't know what to do about them. But I figured my wife's taking videos of them, and I guess we'll enjoy this memory. Once I get this pool right, though, I don't want those ducks by it. But if it's full of chlorine that's right, maybe they won't come in. I don't know. But the Tigers basketball roster is starting to fill up. They've got plenty of guards now. They got a point guard. They got plenty of wings and shooters now. That seems to be the construction mode, is to get different pieces that will fit together. There's a few more pieces to come, and in particular bigs. And I know my man Munsey, Jason Munns from the Commercial Appeal, has his finger on the pulse of who is coming next, but it looks like this roster is starting to take shape. I talked to Penny Hardaway earlier this week on a different topic, and Penny did say to me when I mentioned this team building, he said, Dave, you're going to like this team when it's done. So I didn't necessarily ever believe in last year's team. I am starting to – the way they're constructing this, I'm starting to – really like it. Did you see who was front and center at the NBA game last night in Orlando?
Ja and Triple J.
Ja and Triple J supporting their man Desmond Bane. He was inspired apparently by their presence, led the team with 22, 5 of 10 from 3. Orlando is on the verge as an 8 seed of upsetting the number one seed Detroit. In fact, at this moment, the way they're playing, and Detroit just keeps giving the ball away. As much as I like Cade Cunningham, in at least two losses, he's had either 8 or 9 turnovers. You can't keep turning the ball over or you're going to lose games, especially on the road, which is where they were last night, trying to even the series up. Now they go back to Detroit down 3-1. They're in trouble because they'd have to win at home, go back to Orlando and win, and then win a game 7. I'm not sure they can do it, especially when they have 20 turnovers in a game. Did you see what Jokic did last night? Nikola Jokic, triple-double. The guy's just amazing in my estimation. He had 27 points, 12 rebounds. Here's the thing, 16 assists. So if you think about 27 points, so he made buckets. I don't know how many buckets he was involved in, but if you count the buckets that he made plus the 16 assists, he's got to be involved in two-thirds of the points scored for the Nuggets, who are trying to hold on. You know, that's the other interesting thing. You know, they're a 3-seed trying to stay alive against a injury-riddled Minnesota team. So they did win last night comfortably, 125 to 113. The other number one seed is not in any trouble at all, because they're already into the second round. They sweep Phoenix. They are in tonight. Boston can move to the second round with a win over Philly. San Antonio can move into the second round with a win over Portland. The New York Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks have become the great series. Whew, who wouldn't love to see this upset? I would. I would love to see Atlanta. I mean, let's face it. Atlanta made this midseason trade. Everybody thought they were dead meat. And here they go. They are just playing spectacularly. That series tied 2-2. That series, the home team has won every time. So they go back to Madison Square Garden, and the Knicks are the favorite in that game. But that is worth watching. We already got breaking news today. You know what? If you're a Major League Baseball manager, you better win. Because today, the Phillies' Rob Thompson became the second Major League manager before 30 games have been played. The second Major League manager to get fired. The Phillies off to a 9-19 start. Of course, many think they could win the National League East, so Rob Thompson had to go. He is replaced for the moment by Don Mattingly. He is the interim manager. So it seems so weird, Mattingly, because all you think about is the Yankees with Don Mattingly. But now he's the Phillies skipper. Remember, Boston was the first one to fire their manager, Cora, after they beat Baltimore, what was it, 17-1, he got fired? They're not messing around, that is for sure. And then the last thing before we bring in part of the newest Memphis sports landscape, the guy who's the president of Memphis FC, that would be Kerry Talley. He's going to join us here in about a minute and a half to talk about the new soccer team and USL 2 and the making of this team and the new coach and everything else. I'm looking forward to it. I think they only play like 6 home games. There's only a 12-game season, I guess, for this. It's really a developmental league, but at a high quality. So we'll talk with him about that. It looks like another step of seeing the LIV Tour disintegrate. So this is funny. Their CEO, Scott O'Neill, gathered around a tree at Augusta in early April, basically told the reporters that the LIV Tour would be funded through 2032. Then he had a bad crack. He said when it was discovered that Public Investment Fund, PIF, was pulling out of this big sports, a lot of people called it sports washing. In other words, the atrocities that have been taking place by the monarchy of Saudi Arabia. They were trying to get their reps better by doing all these sports things. They're dropping all these sports things, apparently including the funding for the LIV Golf Tour. So then O'Neill said, we're good through 26. That's this year. Now they are canceling the event. They've got one in the middle of May at Trump's, I think it's in Pennsylvania, his golf course there. He's the only guy. He's got Doral that he's got a PGA event coming up here next week, and then this week, I should say, and then he's got one a month later in Pennsylvania with LIV. Crazy. But in the meantime, the one that's supposed to be in June 25th through 28th, in New Orleans, it's called the Bayou Oaks in City Park, Louisiana, that now is postponed. They're saying maybe moving to fall because they're trying to escape the summer heat. I think this is clearly the beginning of the end. As I sit in the Family Leisure Studios, I remind everybody we got a chemical sale going on. And then we got this cool thing they call the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo. We like to say it's really the battle of the brands because there's 7 manufacturers all fighting for your business. Hot tubs starting at under $3,500. Spas, the big swim spas, they started under $17. And if you mention us, when you go there, you get a free cover lift with your spa purchase. It's always a deal, but make sure now you go in to really cash in, especially on those chemicals. And again, we tell them we sent you when you get to Family Leisure. We go cross town, and we hook up with the president of the new Memphis FC. His name is Kerry Talley. You've heard about him forever. He was a star at Houston High School, went to North Carolina, played on the USA under 23 and 20 teams, maybe even the 17. He was identified pretty early, won the MLS Cup with DC United, and now has, I think, everybody in your family involved in Memphis FC. Good morning, Kerry.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Dave.
No, my pleasure. So tell me a little bit about how all of this came together. I know your brother is your right-hand man as vice president of this club. I think your son, who's another great player, is also going to be involved in this team as a player. How did this whole thing come about?
Whole thing came about, of course we had a 901 leave. And I know a lot of people were kind of upset about that. And so, for me, it seemed like there was a little bit of a hole to fill there in the soccer community. And I think when we look at the growth of soccer and we look at how, just where we're going in this country with it and the popularity and people wanting to go out and support the opportunity that we had with the USL2, which is a lower division in USL, for us to kind of jump in and start at really the grassroots, what I consider the grassroots of this league, but also for local Memphis players. It was a really good opportunity for us to do something. We have a venue that we have very close ties to here at the Mike Rose Soccer Complex. And I was like, we think this would be a great thing, not only for the community, but for local players.
You mentioned the demise of 901 FC. To me, the demise came, well, I'm going to start with COVID, because after COVID, it seemed to me the Latino community stopped coming totally. I mean, they had their own radio station involved in this. There was a great presence, and I thought COVID really dealt 901 FC a bad blow. And then finally, I mean, let's face it, the Redbirds didn't want that stadium being used for both sports, and the funding that could have come that went to the Grizzlies for a new stadium went to the NBA team. And so the USL championship had put in a rule you have to have one being built or close to being built if you wanted to be still a part of it. So that was the issue. Is this stadium okay for USL2? How many does it seat? What is its condition like at the moment?
As far as it goes, why the other team had left and did all that, I wasn't really privy to all those things. But I know that, it was a great thing for the community. And if they could have gotten the stadium up and going, that would have been fantastic. But it didn't happen. And here comes our opportunity, the way we see it. We're out here at Mike Rose Soccer Complex. My father, he started Mike Rose Soccer Complex. He put the business plan together. And with the county and my family, we've been running this facility for the past 28 years now. And so in the soccer community, I think when people talk about, soccer facilities really around the country, the Mike Rose Soccer Complex is one of the premier in the nation. We've got 16 outfields. We've got a 2,500-seat stadium, and it's a fantastic place to be. And so this stadium was built back in 2000, and it's a great venue. We seat 2,500 people in the stands. We probably have room around the outside for another 500 to 7,500 people. If we ever got to that stage with people coming out to the games, that would be fantastic. But stadium's in great shape, facilities in great shape, and more than anything, this is going to be a place that the community can come. They can see some good players from our community playing. It's not going to cost you a ton of money for a night out with your family to get some food, to watch some players play. And I think it'll be a great atmosphere.
I know you got to walk before you can run. You mentioned the possibilities for growth for that stadium, for this team. Do you aspire to get back to a USL championship level?
Well, The aspirations are always to grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think good growth is good growth, right? And so what we're looking to do is get things going here at this level. The USL in the next couple of years will be opening up to what's called promotion and relegation. And I think
given how
well this could go, could it be an opportunity for us to say, hey, Memphis is a market again where we would like to jump into that and participate in that kind of league? I think it would be great because I think USL is going to be a league that's trying to compete against Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
And even though I have close ties to Major League Soccer, I think, you know, there's some things that aren't so great about the league. And I think a competing league coming in and trying to push the envelope with them to do something different to make it more aligned with the rest of the world, it could change things and for the landscape of soccer. And it'd be a great spot if we in Memphis could be part of that.
Let me clarify this. Did you say there would be relegation within the USL? So like the bottom teams of USL Championship would go down a notch. The USL 2 would move up the top two teams. Is that within the plans of USL?
Mm-hmm. So
wow.
So right now, in the following years, they're going to have the USL, I think it's called Premier, mm-hmm. and then USL 1, maybe Premier Championship, and then League 1, I think is what it is. I'm not too sure on where they landed with their names.
Huh.
But yes, they are going to begin doing that, and I think it'd be great. I think what it does is, one, it puts an onus on, like, hey, every game means something for players, and two, within the community, the support is, hey, we don't want to go down a division. You know, we would love to have, you know, bigger teams or whatever it is coming into the community rather than being in the lower divisions there. And so I think that's honestly what you see in every country around the world besides ours, is that's how almost every sport is set up there, and it keeps owners putting money into the team and really trying to keep the support for the team going and putting it back into the community. And so I think USL has a big vision for what they're going to be trying to do to compete with MLS, and I think hey, we're in a good place to hopefully that's where we could get to.
I love the relegation concept. I always have. So what is success? We're not talking about relegation this year. What is success for Memphis FC this year in your eyes?
Yeah, so success for us, the way that we see it is we want more than anything, and I've said this to a few different people, is we want there to be a lot of kids from Memphis associated with this team. You know, when I was looking back at the teams I supported, I was a huge Memphis State basketball fan.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that every time I go to a Memphis State or even University of Memphis team, there was always kids from Memphis that were in high school. You know, like, oh, I saw that guy play at whatever school against whatever team, or these two guys in high schools were matching up against each other, and then one's going to go to Memphis State, the other one's going to go to Arkansas, you know? And it's like, hey, that was great for me because there were guys from our community, and I wanted to go out and support them and see them and compete against, like, guys from other cities or other colleges or whatever it was. And so that was always exciting for me. And so I want to bring that back. And currently, I would say close to 70% of our team right now are Memphis-based kids. They grew up here. They grew up playing here. They have ties to the community, whether it be family members or whatever else. And they're coming back here to play. And what we've asked of them is, hey, we want you to get into the community. We're going to be putting them into schools, to community centers, to trying to get them, you know, kids familiar with the team, the name, and then obviously get them out to the stadium. But, you know, we want this to be something where these guys, they come and they actually fight for the shirt that they put on, because I think a lot of sports has lost that. And it's like, hey, I'm just going to play for this team. Well, when you go to play for your hometown team, that's a different kind of, like, grind for you. It's like, hey, I don't want to let people down that are coming out to watch me, that I know, that have been around the community. And so that's really one of the parts of success that we're looking at doing is being part of the community, right? Mm-hmm. I think the other thing is just going out and competing. We're going to take our licks. We know that because a lot of teams that we're going to be playing against, they've got older players, they've got international players, almost all international players, things like that. Guys, 24, 25, 26 years old, we're not going with that concept. We're here to, hey, we want to drive the guys that are in this community and really give them an opportunity. So that's really our biggest thing is that's what drives our success.
So who are some of those guys? Tell me their names and how old are they? Because, you know, I've watched this thing with the portal in college sports that you're talking about. And when you've got 19 years old against 24 years old, there's a huge advantage to that age difference.
Yeah, there totally is. But that's kind of where we're hoping that we grow a little bit. Mm-hmm. We've got kids that, from the University of Memphis, local kids. Miller Lashley, Ryan Regaro, guys that play at the University of Memphis that are from here, that have grown up in this area, that have played out at Mike Rose almost every day of their life.
Right.
And then my son, Max Talley, he went and played his first 2 years at University of Virginia, hit the portal, went to Wofford in South Carolina. He's going to be coming back and playing. So they're really guys that, you know, they went to the Houston high schools, the Lausanne's, went to school down Olive Branch. So really, really guys from this area. So those are some of the players that we have coming in. And then, yes, they are in their junior and senior year, but they've kind of grown up around the portal, like you're talking, and they are a little bit further along in their college careers. And we're hoping that guys like that can really bring players in and give them a, hey, this is what it means. This is what it means for our team. This is what it means for our club. This is how we need to act in these situations, because maybe they've gotten a little bit more experience. So, we're excited about that. I like having some younger players. For me, having a little bit of a chip on your shoulder and always having to grind and being a little bit of the underdog can be a good thing. And that's what I want to see those guys go out and show the people that come out and support them.
I know the first game is actually a month from today, right? May 28th, I believe. You were talking about affordability. Tell me what it costs to get a season ticket. What is that? It's not that many games, right? Season ticket, or what a single price will single ticket price is going to be to go to Mike Rose and watch these guys?
Yes, so it'll be $12 to come out and see the game, and the season tickets are 6 times 12. Give me some quick. I think $72.
$72.
Yep, and I believe we still have it going where if you buy a season ticket right now, I believe we still have it going that that you would also get a home jersey of the team as well.
Huh.
And so that of course a little bit more expensive, but it gives you that on the first day when you walk into the stadium for the first home game on May 28th. So, but we're going to have some food trucks out here. We'll have some different things going on. We'll have a kind of a VIP room that people will be able to get into for some food and some drinks. We just released with Crosstown Brewing. We just released our Memphis Football Club Match Day Lager, that'll be for sale at game days, and then also at the Huey's restaurants in Germantown and Southwind. So we're pretty excited about that. But hey, we're trying to tie everything into the community and just be familiar with everything.
Last thing, how do you get tickets?
So you can go to our website. Single game. Tickets are now on sale, but you can go to our website, gomemphisfc.com, and get your tickets there. Season tickets are still available, like we had mentioned. So, yeah, all your information there.
Kerry, I wish you the very best. I'm going to try to make as many of these games as I can. I love it. I hope this thing grows into USL Championship again. I truly do. Best of luck to you.
Man, me too. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
You got it. Kerry Telly was president of Memphis FCs. Brought to you by Ken Garland Custom Home Builders. Ken knows you're going to build that dream home. You've been thinking about it for years. Maybe you need land. He's got it. Or you're just not sure how to utilize the land that you've had or been thinking about forever. Well, this is a three-generation company. Ken Sr. started it about 80 years ago. Ken Jr. runs it. William, the third generation in the business. You talk about experience. Go to KenGarland.com so you get a sense of what I'm talking about. You see all the beautiful homes they've either built or they have redone. I call it renovation innovation. You get a brand new renovation with all the new modern amenities, honestly. You get everything, the new media room with the speakers on the wall. You get the latest appliances that you got to have that are so much better than the older ones. You got to have the island in the kitchen and the California closets. Nobody does it better than Ken and William, I promise you. And they tell you the job's really never done. They're always with you. Go check it out. Give them a call. They're fun to talk to. That's Ken Garland, Custom Home Builders. We're heading to Louisiana. And our SEC historian Ron Higgins is standing by. He comes your way in just a minute.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Memphis is a love song to soul and style with the full suite of...
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
There was a big story I have not mentioned that broke yesterday, and it's kind of a heartbreaking story, honestly. And that is Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby, who had played at Cincinnati last year, got a big NIL deal to go to the Texas Tech football team, had to go into a rehab for addiction to gambling. Apparently, he, on his phone with a gambling app, I mean, come on, we know this happens all the time, placed literally thousands of online bets, which, by the way, it's illegal to bet on any college or professional team to keep eligibility by NCAA rule. I don't know what happens here. I'm frankly amazed it's just the first time that it's happened, with which the ease it is to bet and how all these teams have their own gambling deals. So are we really surprised? I think it's the surprise is this is the first one. Good morning, Ron. Your take on what happened to Sorsby.
LSU feels like they dodged a bullet. That's the first guy they wanted in the portal. He didn't want to come here, so they got Levitt. So they're happy. Not happy for him, but they're happy they dodged that bullet. But Levitt's been of course, recovering from injuries, so they got that to deal with. I feel bad for this kid, but it's just a reflection of when you give somebody that much money and they don't know how to handle it, all of a sudden, you know, a $10 bet becomes a $100 bet, becomes a $1,000 bet, becomes a $1,000 bet. And it's just, they'll reel you in now. If you feel like you got enough cash to do anything with, you kind of forget about, you know, being frugal and how it was when you had the money. I feel bad for the kid. Hopefully he gets straight.
You know what? You're talking about the money. I forget how much money he got. But if you outbid Lane Kiffin, it was a lot of money. And we know Texas Tech's got that Cody Campbell guy who's putting on a ton of money. That makes no fiscal sense. We understand that part. But now this guy doesn't get the money, right? Because I don't think he can play for Texas Tech this year. First off, he's broken NCAA rules. He's admitted that by going to this rehab place. What would you do if you're the NCAA?
I would have to suspend him. I don't know if there's any way around it. I mean, really. If the NCAA has any kind of, you know, feels like it has any kind of authority, which they do, but in this case they really should, for the good of the kid, they should do this. I mean, he needs to take a year off and get himself together. He just, this is not something like he just, you know, a drive-by rehab. I'll be okay by football season.
Right.
They need to say, we're suspending you for one season. Now, you do whatever you want, but we're going to suspend you for one season. You know, and Texas Tech will say, listen, you know, you're welcome. You can come pay your way through school and stay here, whatever you want to do. I think he's a senior. I think he probably going to draft, I think. I can't remember if he's a senior or a junior, but he could always enter the draft. But, again, it all depends. You know, the NFL, they don't really care much if you're an alcoholic, if you're a wife beater, or if you're a drug addict. As long as you can help their team, it's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. You know, but they always claim, you know, somebody with one of those problems, I think he's rehab, he's okay, let's we'll sign him. Okay. I don't think the NFL has any scruples whatsoever about signing someone like that, who basically just hurt himself and nobody else.
Yeah, I don't think that the NCAA can allow, with the appearance of, you know, you bet against your team or you bet on your team, I don't think they can allow this to go without a penalty. That's why I don't think Sorsby plays this year. Now, maybe he proves himself and comes back the next year if we don't have that age limit thing yet where you got 5 years starting at 19 to 24. So it's possible that he could come back, but I don't see how they could, in clear conscience, for the sake of the sport, allow the kid to play this particular season. Now, in the old days, they used to pay those players right up front. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Now they pay him by the month, so I don't even know if he's gotten any of that money.
Exactly. If he's already reported for spring practice, he's already there, they're paying him.
Yeah.
It's got to be like a salary. You can't pay all at once, I don't think. I mean, that'd be crazy.
Well, it's a sad, sad story. So let's go back. Apparently Lane Kiffin was outbid for this kid. What's life like with Lane? I think he's got a press conference, he said, later today. What was spring football like with him and this staff? And I guess what is the NIL deal with him? How much money did LSU pay this year to put together a football team? Does it come close to the $40 million that Texas allegedly paid last year?
I think it was probably more than $40 million. Might be closer to $45 million.
Wow.
He got some guys late and probably upped his budget. I mean, he got the Colorado offensive lineman last. That cost. He was the best lineman in the portal. So that cost a little dough. It's been good. You know, I mean, we saw a lot of the second half of spring practice. First half we saw this periods. Practice. Second half, we saw scrimmages. Got to see what their offense. Well, offense was kind of behind for a while. Defense was excellent. Then offense probably caught up. And he's got a lot of talent out there. But now he has to put it all together in 1 year. That's the magic of it. You got these coaches now. They have to create chemistry in 1 year. Like right out of the gate. You know, LSU's got Clemson at home right out of the gate. You know, so. Let's have him practice. He's still recovering from a foot injury. They say he's out there. He's throwing. He's just not moving around. They like their backup quarterback. He likes his team. The coaches are really active out there. Lane never, he kind of observes and passes on, instructions and stuff. But yeah, I don't think I've ever heard Lane yell out there, but his assistants sure do. And, I think he trusts the guys he hires to coach these guys up. So it was a good spring. It was. I mean, you can see the upgrading talent all over the place, but that's what you do when you pay that much money. I mean, you should be upgraded.
Yeah, really. Speaking of money, we're next segment going to talk with our good friend Jason Munns from the Commercial Appeal about building a basketball team. And Penny is well on his way to do that right now. What's that been like with Will Wade, who's come back home? He's got Rick Stansberry, who I know knows how to find talent. Damon Stoudemire is on that squad. Is there somebody else I've forgotten? that has Memphis ties?
Johnny Jones.
Oh, and Johnny Jones, man, what a crew. How have they done with building a team?
Nothing much has been announced. They've announced a couple of guys, but that's about it. I mean, I think he's probably he's holding back, or he's still chasing guys. Guys can still come for zip bits, I presume. Put it this way. There's so much faith in Will Wade. I was looking at, an ESPN projection of the next NCAA tournament field. And they got LSU in there as the final, one of the four final seeds in the field. This for a team that was awful this year, where everybody left the squad. So they have like two, three players like that right now. And they're projecting that they'll be in on the last four seeds of NCAA field next year, which kind of tells you what people think about Will Wade's coaching ability and his ability to recruit. So, again, he's got a great staff. Got people all over the place who've had experience as head coaches. People have been like Damon, who've been in the pros and was with the Grizzlies. That's when I came across him. Hell of a good guy.
He was with the Tigers. He was an assistant with Josh Pastner.
Yeah, you always knew Damon was going to be a coach. He was a coach when he kind of played. He had that, he just had that aura about him. So, that was what Will does, and I think I'm going to talk to him sometime this week or next week and try to get in and see him. But that's about it. It's kind of football's winding down. Baseball's having a horrible year. Uncharacteristically, but give their coach Jay Johnson credit. He said, you know what, I made some mistakes in recruiting with this class. I made some mistakes.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the SEC baseball season, where Georgia seems to be the cream of the crop. A&M and Texas are pretty good. Hey, the Mississippi schools are doing okay. They're still definitely in the hunt. We'll talk about that
absolutely.
Next week. Thank you, my friend. As always, we appreciate it. We'll chat next Tuesday.
Okay,
take care.
We'll see you.
That's our SEC historian, Ron Higgins. We're going to talk Memphis basketball with the man who's got his finger on the pulse. That's Jason Munns from the Commercial Appeal. He comes your way next.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. And friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Those Tigers are building a team. They got a new point guard, a kid we've seen before when he was at USF. He comes from Northwestern. 5 assists a game in the Big Ten last year. That would be Jaden Reed. They got this scoring guard who was all OVC, averaging 14 points a game, 6'3 scorer, named Luke Almodovar yesterday, the guy that knows all the signees and maybe the future ones, is Commercial Appeal beat writer Jason Munns. All right, Munzie, what do you think of the way this team is being built? Good morning.
Good morning. I think that so far so good. I know that there's not like, from an excitement standpoint necessarily, it's not like it was 2 years ago with Tyrese Hunter, a name you knew, PJ Haggerty, a name you know, someone you were super familiar with, if you're, from a fan standpoint. But the way I see this sort of all starting to come together, it's starting to remind me a little bit of the Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams season, where they're going after, two or three clear-cut leaders, alphas.
Yeah.
And then surrounding them with role players, people who know, who have very clearly defined and well understood roles. They're not quite there yet. They're not quite 100% done with what they're hoping to get done. But if they do, then I think, I see this, what they're doing to me mirrors, you know, the way they put that roster together more so than any other season. And obviously, it worked out pretty well for Memphis that season. They won 26 games and were knocking on the door, you know, a timeout call away from potentially getting to the Sweet 16 that year. And
that should have come.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be one of the all-time what ifs in Memphis basketball history because, again, it was you know, on a silver platter, and they called timeout. They just didn't get it.
Yeah.
Lee,
what's his name? I can't remember.
Cassell.
Lee Cassell. I see him. I cringe. He had another terrible game. Although he ends up making the NCAA tournament almost every year, but I don't know how. He looks good, I guess. So let's just talk about that. They got the point guard in Reed.
Yep.
Who is the KD? Is that going to be this kid Almodovar? Is it Cummings that they got? Is there somebody still to come?
Yeah, no, I think Jaden Reed is probably he's definitely your point guard.
Isn't he more like Hunter?
Honestly, I think I'm not comparing him to Kendrick Davis, like from a production standpoint. I'm not saying that Jaden Reed's going to come in here and average 20 points a game or whatever KD had, while also, you know, I forget if don't quote me on this, but I think he was well up there in the conference and assists, at the same time. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be that necessarily, but I'm also not saying he's not going to be that. But he is much more of a scoring point guard than he is a distributing point guard. Although, as you pointed out, 5 assists a game in the Big Ten, you know, you kind of like that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
He's very, very, very capable of being a really, really solid playmaking point guard. You know, so I think that from a profile standpoint, from like a role standpoint, I see him in that Kendrick Davis type role for Memphis this season. And also, as you mentioned, he's coming back to the American, where he spent 2 seasons at South Florida. You know, he takes a break, he goes to the Big Ten, he has a little bit of success from an individual standpoint, not so much from a team standpoint. So he's coming back. He's a year older. He's got that experience in the Big Ten. You know, who knows? And he'll be playing under Penny Hardaway, who has shown that he can get a lot out of smaller guards, and that's what Jaden Reed is.
Right. Well, we've seen that with KD for sure. And that worked out quite well. I like this Reed kid. I remember him at USF, and he didn't lower his stock by going to Northwestern. So I'm excited about that thing. I don't know about Almodovar. I know he had 14 points, but that was at SEMO. He was all OVC, so those are good things. Is he the guy that's going to be the 2, or will it be Cummings?
I think if you were penciling things out, you would put Cummings over Almodovar. I think mainly because I think Cummings is a more complete player. I think Cummings also can, you can put him on the ball. Like, you can take Jaden Reed off the ball, you know, here and there, the way Penny has done in the past. Like, he took KD off the ball from time to time and would, you know, let, you know, other people, handle it, you know, sometimes here and there. And he's done it. He did it last year with Doug and Curtis Gibbons III. He did it the year before.
Well, he kind of had to take it away from Doug because Doug was having a problem doing anything when they started to double him all the time.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And like, he was having trouble penetrating and getting into the paint and things like that. So, but yeah, like, I could see, I think because Cummings is a little bit more of a well-rounded player, I think he's got the leg up right now over Almodovar for that starting 2 spot. And plus, I've talked to some people who faced off against Southeast Missouri State last season, and, you know, obviously are somewhat familiar with Luke, and it sounds like his defense needs a little work. And so, the people that I talked to spoke very highly of his offensive game. It's just his defense needs a little bit of work. So, you know, so for that reason, I think Brandon Cummings is probably right now the leader at the two.
All right, let's not forget Thedford, who could play two or three. Let's not forget you got this Fred Smith coming in, who'll be, I'm suspecting, sort of an inside guy. You've got Solo Jackson, who I think will be in the mix here because he's supposed to be such a talented guard. But there's no bigs, really. There's no true bigs so far. What is still to come in the next week or so that you can prophesize us with?
Well, I mean, I think it could come as early as today, honestly.
Oh, really?
It's an any-minute. Yeah, it's an any-minute type of thing. I mean, it's from what I understand, a lot of the dominoes have fallen, and Memphis is just sort of, strategically or not, I don't know if it's strategic decision making or not as far as like rolling these players out. But last week they got two visitors that I think they're in really good spots with, and that's Cornelius Williams. He's a 6'9 guy, played the last two seasons at North Alabama, was top 20 in the country in rebounding 2 years ago and top 30 this past season.
Didn't he start at LSU? I mean, he was good enough to sign with LSU to begin with, correct?
He did. He went to LSU out of high school, redshirted there, then went to West Carolina, and then went to North Alabama. He visited last week. Again, superb rebounder, you know, rim-running guy on offense. I think they're in a really good spot with him. He's definitely, you know, a big that you could put down there in the low post, and because he doesn't shoot threes at all. He has not attempted a three pointer at North Alabama in either of his two seasons there. So he's definitely a true post. And then Tylik Weeks, who led the Sun Belt in scoring last season at Southern Miss, he averaged almost 20 points a game. Hmm. You know, he's another one, even though he's 6'7". Who I think would factor very much into the backcourt conversation.
Like a David Jones kind of a player?
Yeah, David Jones was like 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", and obviously, you know, had a very distinct offensive game. You know, it wasn't the prettiest thing necessarily, although he could probably shoot the three a little bit better than Tylik Weeks can, but Weeks, you know, he's very much a, I mean, they call him Bully. His nickname is Bully. And so I think that is, I think he got that because of the way he plays, you know, the way he scores. He just puts his head down and goes. And because of that, he was eighth in the country in free throw attempts per game last season, which is reminiscent of PJ Haggerty, you know, a guy who scored the ball by just simply putting his head down and trying to get to the hoop. And if he didn't score, he'd get fouled. And that seems to be the case with, you know, the same type of game with Tylik Weeks. So those two, I think, are the ones. And then obviously Josh Holloway, who is on his visit right now to Memphis. He's from Memphis, obviously, went to St. George's.
He's infamous, you could say, for the slap with John Morant.
Yeah, he's definitely that is definitely part of his story. But also part of his story, he went to Samford out of high school and was there for 2 years and then went to Texas A&M last year, where he was kind of a role player. You know, he's a point guard. He's a like 6'1", but like a thicker
so
point
is he
guard.
The, is he the backup point guard in this look in this rotation?
I mean, I think we'll just have to wait. And
he's,
let
not
it play
gonna
out.
Beat, he's not going to beat out Reed, is he?
I mean, I would have a hard time seeing that. But you know, I mean, like, I think Penny, you know, Josh Holloway, if he comes to Memphis, he's not like he's coming to make an impact. Like he told me that. I talked to him last week, and he is not coming here to, you know, necessarily take a back seat to anyone. Now, does that mean that, you know, he plays starter minutes, but he comes off the bench? That's probably what it would be.
Okay.
If I had to guess. But yeah, he's like a multi-positional guy. but primarily a point guard who is, you know, a lot like some of these other Memphis kids, who just plays extremely hard and is really, really good defensively. I mean, he's cousins with Alex Lomax. Lomax is his cousin.
I didn't realize that. So yeah. Do you think Williams and Weeks and Holloway are done deals? Are they coming?
I mean, it depends kind of how you look at it. I mean, I would be surprised if Memphis did not get Williams and Holloway. That would be a surprise to me. Mm. I think they're in a very good position with Weeks, too, but I don't think it's I'm not quite certain that it's completely to the finish line, although I have talked to some people who say that it is.
You know, of those three, who's the best? Who's the must-have get?
Gosh, I mean, you know, knee-jerk reaction, you say Weeks, just because, you know, he's a guy who put up 20 points a game last season and he rebounded a little. But as we sit here, like in terms of need, I think Memphis might need
Williams.
A rebounding
big
they need more a than more than a more than a guy like Weeks. But I think it's 1A and 1B.
Well, they got to have Williams, and they got to get another big too. I'd love to get Weeks for sure, but I hear what you're saying. You got to have Williams, and then you got to have another guy who's a big buddy.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. As always, my friend, love chatting with you. So we'll do it again next Tuesday.
All right, sounds good, Willow.
Thank you. That's Jason Munns, beat writer for the U of M in the Commercial Appeal. He's brought to you by Miramichi. You want a first-class golfing experience that includes the best practice facilities, that includes this beautiful deck on a beautiful day after your round, to sit up there and have some food or drink a cold one and look at the beautiful sky and the lake and the trees and everybody else trying to play the game. It's just a perfect perch, in my estimation. Or you can go to the clubhouse that's air-conditioned, and they got all that same stuff there. There's just this gorgeous competitive golf course that's a part of it. I mentioned the practice facilities, but what I haven't mentioned is how close it really is. Everybody says, I'm not going to go to Millington. No, you're not going to Millington. You're going to Woodstock, 25 minutes from my driveway in East Memphis. You want the total golf experience? Folks, and tell them we sent you. You head to Miramichi. That'll do it for us. Busy show tomorrow. Dennis Phillippe. Golf picks. Oh, and don't forget Joe Dank on the Business of Sports. That's all tomorrow. We'll see you then. Johnny Radio's right around the corner. Have a great day, everyone.